welcome to the Make It in Design podcast. I'm Beth Kempton, co-founder of makeitindesign.com, which is home to one of the longest running online design schools in the world. We help creatives from across the globe to thrive in the design industry. Together with my co-founder, Rachel Taylor, an award-winning design veteran, and our wonderful team, we love nothing more than to inspire creative people to follow their dreams, grow sustainable design businesses, and do what they love. We've created this podcast to bring you interviews with designers who have made many bold moves and followed their hearts in order to thrive as creative professionals. Many of them have learned life lessons the hard way, and they all share their career highs and lows, wins and challenges, and their top tips for success. These conversations are gold, and you don't want to miss a single episode. So subscribe now, get yourself a lovely cuppa, and settle in for an inspiring chat. You can find out more about our much-loved online design courses and private design community, The Live Hub, at makeitindesign.com, or come and find us on Instagram at makeitindesign. And so, to today's conversation.
Hi there, everyone, and thanks for listening. I'm Rachel Taylor, co-founder of Make It in Design, and I'm so excited for today's conversation because I'm here with the super talented Elizabeth Olwen, who's a renowned Canadian print and pattern designer, and she actually lives in gorgeous sunny Lisbon. Now, Elizabeth's work oozes such style, joy, and colour confidence. The team and I at Make It in Design absolutely love Elizabeth's work, and we've been in awe of her career and everything that she's been doing. And she really deserves everything that she gets because she works so hard and her work is truly stunning. She collaborates with companies that she admires from all around the globe on feel-good intentional products for home from home decor to stationery, fabric to bedding, swimwear. Elizabeth really does so much amazing things. Not only is she an in-demand designer, she's a brilliant online tutor with classes. And if that wasn't enough, she's also the founder and director of a brilliant event called Field Trip, which is a licensing show in New York, and it helps established artists, and it's a great space for people to interact and connect and gain business, and it's a brilliant thing. And I know many of our community are big fans of Elizabeth, and we adore the fact that she's Make It in Design alumni too. So Elizabeth, a huge welcome to our podcast. That was a bit of an introduction for you because you're just amazing, and we're so excited to have you as our guest.
Oh, thank you for that beautiful intro, Rachel. So nice. Oh,
very well prepared. You're welcome. So how are you today? Are you good?
Yeah, I'm doing great. I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, juggling a lot as always, but all good. So we've got some really juicy questions for you today in this podcast. And I know our listeners are just going to love hearing from you. So if it's okay with you, we're going to just dive straight in.
Let's do it.
Okay, so you are super creative. Can you tell us briefly how you got to where you are today?
Sure. So I've always been artsy, like from when I could remember, like as a kid, you know, like any time that I had would be spent doing something creative. And I think I attribute to some of it, like just being bored when I was a kid, going on like boring Sunday drives and have nothing to do. My mom would give me her notepad and paper and I would just draw and draw and draw. So I've always been creative. And then I always wanted to do something creative. I ended up going to school for graphic design and working at that for about 10 years. But I always felt like there was something like missing. I had this like fire in my belly, which I think I've kind of come to understand as envy when I would see something that I wish I was like, whoa, like who did that? How did they do it? And eventually I kind of awoke to pattern design, I guess you could say, and like realized it was a thing that people do that I could do. And it all changed from that moment on. And then of course I found the Make It in Design class, which is like a very important first step for me for diving into it and kind of learning about all the ins and outs of it. And man, it's been over 10 years now and I couldn't be more in love with what I do now. It's just, I'm so thankful every single day. It's amazing.
So amazing to see your journey. And we're so grateful. Yeah, you came to us in our community. And I think, we love to see our designers go on to do great things. And I've just been in awe of your career. And it's just like, wow, it's just so nice. It really just makes all the hard work pay off. So yeah, thank you for finding us.
Thank you.
Yeah, and given everything you do to the creative world, just so amazing. And I just want to touch on, actually, I know you love travel, big travel lover over here too. and it's really influenced my work over the years. Obviously, you were born in Canada. Mm-hmm. I know we were chatting about your lovely accent before, but you now live in Lisbon. Tell us a little bit about that. Does it influence your work? You know, do you combine those influences?
Yeah, it definitely influences my work. I thought that it's kind of unexpected how it influenced my work. First of all, it influenced it in terms of slowing me down a lot. So I was in Toronto before, my beloved hometown, very fast-paced city, and a lot of like kind of hustle going on. And then I came here and it was just like, I could hear the birds singing and like, you know, coffee shops don't open till 9 and like things like this. So it just forced me, you kind of adapt to the pace of life, and it's definitely slower here. Like definitely feel like there's a real appreciation of the ocean and the sun and the good weather and stuff. So it really slowed me down. But also I've really come to realize its influence on my color palettes. Like for sure. It's so interesting looking back, which I've been doing a lot of lately. I've made work before and now, and my color perspective, I think it's gotten a lot stronger since I've been here, because I'm basically walking through 3D color palettes all the time. So it's been really amazing. Yeah.
I think you definitely see that in your work. And I think when I look at your color palettes, they always just feel really striking, beautiful, really considered as well, and just really vibrant, and they make you feel happy, but they've got a sophisticated edge. I love the confidence with your color, and I think that's what makes your prints really, really stand out.
Thank you.
Influences.
There's also one thing that I think is important that coincided with my move to Lisbon, which is that whenever I got here, I decided to start working with a creative coach in the US. And so it was kind of the perfect time to reevaluate everything that had been, you know, I was like leaving one place, starting fresh in so many new ways. So it was such a good time for me to reevaluate, and ended up taking a deep dive into what was maybe what I wanted to develop more in my work. So it coincided with going slower and kind of starting to create more meaningful, considered, and intentional work. So things got a lot deeper in terms of the kind of artwork that I'm creating. So yeah, there's a lot of things happening that shifted whenever I moved to Lisbon.
That's really interesting. Wow, so cool. It's really, yeah, it's great to hear that you have a coach, and that's really, really helped you in your career. What would you say the key turning points in your career are, and like big decisions that took you down a particular route? Obviously, it sounds like moving to Lisbon has really shaped where you are today. Would you say that's been really significant, or has there been other things as well that have really been a turning point?
Yeah, I think I'll go back to, yeah, the creative coach was a huge turning point for me. So kind of getting clear on what I want, versus just kind of, I think maybe before I was just so surprised that I was able to do what I loved. And so I kind of was maybe less selective, or like didn't have as clear of a vision. But once I started working with the coach, and kind of we did a lot of really deep dive, like kind of emotional kind of stuff, and getting clear on like what I really want out of my life. And then things really, really started to shift. And it kind of coincided with a few other things too. Like I had been exploring working with an agent in the US before I moved to Lisbon as well. And that was whenever I kind of cut ties with them, kind of realizing that I wanted to take a lot of things back into my own hands, that I really love a lot of the aspects of managing the business side of things and having that creative control and directional, and just like really getting closer to the work and the kind of work that I want to make and the kind of products I want to make. I think also leaving Toronto was an interesting thing, because I had to sell everything that I owned.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, so then that was, yeah, it was crazy and amazing. And I had all of these samples from all of these collaborations that I'd done, and I just was able to look at them and go, wow, like this is a lot of stuff. And do I feel good about every single one of these things that are in the world? Like, I don't want to just create, I don't want to just produce for the sake of producing. So it helped me to kind of get clear on being more intentional about the products that I want to put into the world. So yeah, it was a big turning point moving to Lisbon for sure.
I love that. I love the fact of the whole clearing out. Gosh, I'm someone who has too much stuff. And I think sometimes, yeah, when we have a clear out, it really just helps, doesn't it? Obviously, for your space, you're moving, but for your mind and your vision of kind of where you were going. And I love the fact that you've identified that you really kind of decided what it is you want to create on the route you want to go down. And I know particularly as designers, sometimes we're just, like you said, so excited and so flattered that someone has approached us, or we feel like we're, you know, if we say no to something, we feel like, oh, is the work going to stop? Or are we tempting fate by saying no to something? So I think it's really good for our listeners to hear that you've identified in your career, you know, where you want to go. And as service pattern designers, you know, we can put our designs on everything and it's exciting, but it's overwhelming, mm-hmm. isn't it? So mm-hmm. I think the fact that you've got a real clear vision, it is wonderful. And another thing I wanted to touch on was, and this is something we get asked a lot, is, you know, have you ever faced rejection? If you have, how have you dealt with it? Things that might not have gone to plan, you know, and that sort of stuff behind the scenes.
Yeah, of course. My goodness, at the beginning, I felt like it was constant rejection. And I remember it being in tears some days and just being like, this is never going to work out. Like, you know, I was pouring myself into it so much. And every rejection, the sting of rejection, I think it hurts so much more at the beginning, I think, like, because you're not used to it. And then as time goes on, like, you might get a few more rejections, but then you get someone saying yes. And then you get another rejection and another couple of people say yes. And so kind of like learning to look at the big picture and not take the rejection so personally. And also trying, I think it's really important to kind of try to see the silver lining in things whenever you can. So maybe if they are rejecting you, what does that mean? Like, maybe they think you're not a good fit for a reason, or, you know, like, do you want to work towards like that client more, or can you acknowledge that maybe they weren't the best fit for you either, and kind of focus your work in a new direction or something? So I think there's valuable information kind of in the rejections. So yeah, so now I'm not fazed by it, but because I've been through it so yeah. many times, you know, I just kind of started to think, oh, it's just part of the path. And, yeah. you know, yeah.
That's a great way to look at it. I mean, I've dealt with it as well. And I think sometimes people are surprised, aren't they, when they see a designer maybe they admire or they think is successful or is doing all these things. They think that rejection doesn't happen to all of these people. And it does. Like, I think every designer out there, speak to, we've all been through rejection. It's just often, it's not what we show on Instagram, is it? We don't film ourselves crying or something. So, you know, I think it's these layers are part of everyone's journey. And as you said, it kind of shapes the way that we go, and like there's a silver lining in things. And I think as well, when I've had no's, that no has made me try something else, which actually led me onto this thing that was better in. But yeah, sure, they, like you said, they sting. And in the beginning, it's the hardest, isn't it?
And
not giving up. And I think, yeah, it's really important for everyone to just not give up and kind of find your way in the creative industry. Yeah. So just touching on kind of hard things, what would you say has been the hardest experience in your career? Obviously, rejection's tough. Has there been anything else that you feel has been maybe a troublesome experience or hasn't gone your way or anything like that?
Yeah, I think that maybe some of the harder things for me were trying to find my place a little bit. So I remember kind of creating a lot of work that trying to figure out what other people wanted versus the creating the work that I wanted to create. So I always felt like it was a moving target, like, oh, trying to guess what the client wants. So if a client came to me and they're like, yeah, we like your style, we want to create work like this. And I'd be constantly trying to put myself in their shoes and be like, well, what do they want? What do they think of these things? And I think that was way harder because I wasn't able to connect with my own intuition about my artwork. And once I kind of started like realizing that and kind of connecting with my own intuition, I realized like I have to always follow that. So, but that was a bit of a wobbly path, figuring out, trying to like tune into my own intuition about my artwork. And so, yeah, I think that was one of my biggest challenges. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a big thing, isn't it? And having confidence in yourself and your choices and yeah, all of that. And a really important thing that you've touched on. You have done, gosh, so many amazing things. I know when I see your work pop up, I'm like, oh my God, I've seen what Elizabeth's doing now. And me and the team even chat and say, wow, like you're doing this and you're doing that. And it's just brilliant. Like the things you've done and everything you do, it just seems so gorgeous and you've got great work ethic and everything. But what would you say is the best thing in your career so far, or the kind of highlight where you think, wow, I can't believe this is happening, like a pinch me moment or something, or is it like a dream product? What is the highlight for you so far?
Yeah, well, there have been a few that have happened fairly recently, but one of them was Keds. Working with Keds, which was oh my goodness, that was such a dream, such a dream. But I have to say, the one that really tops it for me is the swimwear collection that I did with Align Swim. So because if anyone had been following me on Instagram, they know that I've been mocking up swimsuits like since the beginning. It's been a dream of mine for so long. And so I ended up working with this amazing sustainable swimwear brand in Singapore. And wow, the founder just gave me so much creative freedom. So I felt like it was like all of these things that I love doing kind of converged, and I had this total freedom to do. I mean, I have a graphic design background. I love branding. Love it. I love storytelling. I love pattern design. I love fashion, all of these things. And she just gave me so much, like we collaborated on it, but she gave me so much freedom I got to name the collection, which I named Boa Vida after this color is basically means good life in Portuguese. So it was, and named all of the prints Portuguese names based on, like the whole collection was based on Portuguese beach lifestyle. And so it was just incredible to have all of those things that gave me a vision of what I hope I could continue to do, to really, truly, truly collaborate with companies versus just like sending off my artwork and then hoping for the best. Yeah. It was really like such involvement and was very empowering and inspiring for me to see the possibilities. So I think it's kind of had a bit of a shift. It gave me a bit of a shift in terms of what I see as possible for my brand in the future.
It's amazing. I mean, I've seen the swimwear collection. It's beautiful. And for our listeners, do check out on Elizabeth's website. Just such a gorgeous collection. And I think it's just come together in a really, really beautiful way. Your brand seems really strong and it's just lovely. And I think you're just going to continue to do more of these amazing, amazing things.
Thank you.
Just going through the questions now of all of the things I wanted to ask you and really pick your brain about, and for our listeners as well. Okay, I think this is a good one. How do you stay on track and organized? You do obviously so many things, and you know, you, like you said, you have created direction in some of your projects. You like to kind of follow the journey through, but of course you create patterns, but you love branding and kind of the whole creative vision. How do you keep on track of everything, whether it's kind of, you know, administration and designing? Like, what's your day-to-day and how do you do it all, basically?
Well, I'm not going to try to create a false illusion that I've got it all under control all the time. I have a process that I use for trying to keep on track, which is like kind of just a post-it note system where I kind of have I feel like we're always trying to make it seem like, oh yeah, I've got it all under control and I have a plan for everything. But I'm kind of trying to just embrace the fluidity of everything, because like the work, sometimes it's when it rains, it pours, and there's a ton of creative work to do and I don't have a lot of time for the administration work, and that's great, you know? And then there's other times when it flips. And like, I'm doing like all client work, with like just prepping things and doing some, getting things ready for product and that kind of stuff. So I'm kind of, it's always evolving. I would say there's no typical 9-to-5 day in the life, which is one aspect of that I enjoy about it, you know? So, I somehow managed to get I prioritize things and make sure I get the most important things done. And then there's some days where I just like, I go through periods of working like crazy where I'll be just like working from day till midnight, like morning till midnight. And then there's other times when I chill, you know, and I go to the beach and stuff. So I definitely don't have a really firm structure. It's kind of all organic.
Yeah, I'm a little like that. There's certain things that I know I have to stick to and prioritize, and there's different things I have to do. I'm a big post-it fan. Love a post-it on my computer. Done something, throw it away. Best feeling ever, isn't it? I'm very like that, and physical diaries and stuff. I use like Google Calendar and things for some important stuff, but generally I'm a writing on piece of paper kind of girl. So it's good.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, you can kind of go with the flow as well. Yeah, I think as creatives, there's so many things we have to do, isn't there, these days, from promotion, social media, learning, you know, software. Even if you're freelance for a company, there's just always so many hats we have to wear, and it can be hard, isn't it, to not get in that kind of overwhelm of, oh, there's all these things I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just great to get that insight from you. I was going to touch on actually on social media. You have a great social media following. What I always notice about you is your account is just so beautiful. It feels curated, but in like an organic way. Obviously your travel influences come through. Your color palettes are always really on point. Like, is there like a structure to what you do, or are you more kind of just go with the flow? And how important do you feel social media has been for your business? Do you get commissions that way? Like, how has it kind of influenced you, your work, and the work that you get as well?
Yeah, social media has been very important. Most specifically, Instagram has been very, very integral to my growth, I think. And so I think I get most of my work through Instagram, I would say, right now. So I do think it's an important platform to focus energy on. But over the years, I've really had to figure out how to focus that energy. So one thing that changed the game for me was using a social media planning tool. Mm-hmm. So I use Planoly, which is really helpful. So basically now whenever I'm working on anything fun and creative and something comes together on screen, I like throw it into into the drafts area of my social media planner. So I think that helps maintain its like kind of organic feeling, because I am creating this stuff and just saying, oh, that would look great on Instagram. I'll throw it over there. And then I usually take it sometime at the beginning of each week, or sometimes if I'm really planned, kind of do it for like a month in advance, write all the captions and everything, kind of batch everything, because I find that mentally that really helps clear some space. So I'm not thinking, one thing that used to really take my energy was thinking, waking up in the morning and being like, what do I have to post on Instagram today? Yes. and then I would panic, and then I would feel like I was becoming like it was becoming a monster I had to feed every day, and it was taking the joy out of it. So once I kind of flipped the script and kind of said like, okay, how can I make this work for me and enjoy it and spend the time? I love writing so much. I love making the captions and being thoughtful and intentional about what I put on there. So taking the time to not feel rushed, do it in advance, and then I can still all move it around, and it's still an organic thing that I can add to as I go. But that really changed everything for me when it comes to social media. But yeah, it's a very, very important aspect to getting new work and getting my name out there. Yeah.
Well, that's really useful for our listeners. Thank you. I know we get a lot of questions about that. And yeah, Planoly is great. And I think, like you said, if you can be organized ahead, then some things can be organic. And so that's really, really good to know. So you also have really beautiful promotional images. You talked about mock-ups before, and I love the fact that you said you've been creating mock-ups of swimwear for years, and now obviously you've just done a swimwear line, which is gorgeous. And I love that thing of, you know, you attract what you know, what you put out there and what you create is definitely what you attract. And that is happened to me over the years. You know, if there's something I really want, just putting that message out there, even if it takes a bit of time, putting that vibe out into the kind of world and the universe, that it will come your way at some point if you keep working at it. But you've got such gorgeous images. Obviously we touched on social media there, but things like mock-ups and you know, your photography for the swimwear collection, are you involved in that, or for the actual photography for swimwear? And how do you do your mock-ups, and any tips in general just gorgeous promotional images, perhaps when people are more of a budget? any advice on that would be great.
Yeah, so I think mock-ups are super important. I think for me, it's about planting those seeds, like you talked about. Like every time I create a mock-up and I get a good feeling in my belly about it, I'm like, oh, I would love for that to happen. It plants a seed. So I've still got lots of seeds that I've planted that I'm hoping will start to sprout at some point. But so I'm a big believer in doing that. But I use Creative Market a lot for stock images. And I think it's about kind of like elevating stock images. So like some of them can be a bit cheesy and tacky. It's like about finding the right ones. Now I find there's so many good ones that you can choose from. Like whenever I was starting out, I don't think there were as many. So it's just about curating, figuring out what your brand vision is and the aesthetic that you want to have, is really, really important. So you're choosing, even if you're buying stock images, they're still consistent with your brands. They're not all over the place. So I've kind of established a kind of look and feel that I want to implement across all of my images. And yeah, it's essentially kind of a branding exercise. So I think it's a really important thing to kind of take a holistic look at your brand and figure out what your voice is and where you want to come from. And that'll help making those decisions a lot easier as you go through the process.
Oh, that's really useful. That's great to hear. I know Make It and Design, within some of our courses, we have some stock photography and some on the website. And what I love is when I see our students, obviously, essentially, they might all be getting the same image, but a lot of them will do different things with it. Like you said, customizing it, elevating it. Because if we all use the same stock image, it would just look a little flat, wouldn't it, if we're all doing the same. So I love that you're really thinking about the bigger picture in your brand. So that's really useful. For our listeners. So you do so many things. You've talked about that you've learned how to slow down since being in Portugal. You know when to chill, and you'll have kind of peaks with your work and slower periods. What do you do to relax? I'm sure like you hit the beach and all of these things and go walking down the beautiful streets in Lisbon. But what is your favorite thing to do to relax and recharge?
Oh, just one.
You can tell us a few. I'm always curious about it.
Well, meditation. I start every day with meditation. That's amazing. For the last couple of years I've been doing it, and it's made a huge impact on my life. So that's been really valuable. Also yoga. I do yoga quite often, which is a nice thing, part of my routine, getting out of my apartment, going to the studio, having that interaction has been great. But mostly I get out of the city, go to the ocean and do a ton of walks in nature, like trails around Portugal, because man, this country is so beautiful. I feel like that just recharges my battery, and like the world doesn't exist when I'm in the forest or anything. So I find that's really, really important for my overall well-being.
I really relate to that. I think when I'm a little stressed or feeling overwhelmed, just nature, it just cures everything, doesn't it? And switching off your computer, getting it offline, we're all online so much, aren't we, in this world? And I've got another question for you. It wasn't on the list, just really, really curious, because you said about naming your collections. Do you actually speak Portuguese, or do you know a little, or like how you learning it?
Falo um bocadinho. It'll sound like I know what I'm talking about. I've taken a lot of classes. I speak some, but not a lot. I understand what's going on, and I'm always practicing, trying to practice just with silly little things like calling. They love reservations in Portugal. If you want to go out for dinner, you got to make reservations. Okay. So I, you know, have to get comfortable with like basics, like going to the market. And but yeah, I know some, but not, I'm not fluent by any means.
I've been learning Spanish, and I think learning a language is so difficult, but I know little. I'm not even going to go there on this podcast today. And another question for you is, what is your favorite motivational quote? I tend to ask this to a lot of people. I love to know like what kind of drives you, and is your, you know, the some words that you really resonate with.
Well, one that has stayed with me for years as well, I love Brené Brown. I think she changed my life. Yeah. She's amazing. But she had this one quote. It said, "Don't shrink, don't puff up, just stand your sacred ground."
I love that.
Oh, I love it. It's really good. I feel like it just basically encourages you to just be yourself, be your most authentic self. Yeah. Like no matter what environment you are, your one job is just to remain true to yourself. And I think that that has followed me for years and will remain with me hopefully forever. So yeah.
What was it again? Sorry, don't shrink.
Don't shrink. Don't puff up. Like don't puff up your chest and try and big all big and just stand your sacred ground.
Love that. I've got a little shimmering with that. Love that one. Yeah, thanks so much. Great one. That's a lovely one for this podcast today. And then just one final question, really. For all of our listeners today, obviously, we've dived into your career, kind of talked about rejection and dreams and visions and knowing kind of where you want to go and on your path. What would you say is the most important thing you want to tell our listeners today after listening to your podcast interview? You know, a message for them to go away with?
Yeah, I would say like the most important work that you can do is like on yourself, I think, in my experience. So the more you kind of get to know yourself and tune into yourself and feed that work into your artwork, the more solid your voice will get. And I think that having a signature style is like, for me, it's the most essential part of this business. So I think without that, you don't really have a career. So I think it's like really super common and normal to kind of get caught up in the idea like, oh, I want to know how a contract works, or I want to know like all of this, like how do I talk to clients, like all of these things. And those are really, really important things. But I always say like, for me, there is no business without the creative work. So I have to focus on my style and my voice and creating something that is meaningful to me, that is unique to me. So I think that that's the best thing you can focus on if you're starting out.
Love that. That's such an important message. Yeah, so, so important. And finally, where can our listeners connect with you? Obviously, we know you have a gorgeous website and Instagram, but if you can let us know your handle, your website address, and we'll put the information with the podcast as well, but just so we've got it here for the listeners.
Okay, great. Yeah, so you can find me at elizabetholwin.com. You can follow me on Instagram at elizabetholwin. And then I have a great list of links in my Instagram to all the different collaborations I do. And I'm really trying to build up my newsletter as well. I send the quarterly newsletters, which have a little bit more detail about some of the things that I'm working on. So I'd love if people signed up for that.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah, I'm sure they will. I'm sure you're going to have a flurry of new followers and stuff. And Elizabeth's Instagram is just truly stunning, and it's like a breath of fresh air. And yeah, it's a great account to follow for inspiration. And of course, she's like a super inspiring, amazing, creative, motivational lady. And I feel so honored that we got to chat to you today. And yeah, Make It Design, we're so proud of you, and we love seeing what you do. And just keep shining. You're so great. So thank you so much for your time, Elizabeth. I really appreciate it. And you've been brilliant. And I know this is going to inspire so, so many. So thank you.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Rachel.
So that's all for today. You have been listening to the Make It in Design podcast. And we'll be back soon with more inspiring stories from working designers and other creative people. Until then, check out our free courses and design resources at makeitindesign.com to help you move forward in your own creative journey. Or come and follow us on Instagram at Make It in Design for daily colour and pattern inspiration. And don't forget to subscribe to the Make It in Design podcast so you don't miss a single episode. We'll see you again soon.